Amen. You may be seated. Father, we come to you. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, thank you that you created us for your glory. And we pray that would happen tonight, Lord, that you would be glorified and you would be lifted up. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, the whole end of the book of Ephesians is about how we relate to one another as believers in Jesus. And specifically tonight we're going to deal with the Ephesians 5 that talks about marriage. And whenever you talk about marriage, there is a vast array of different feelings and thoughts about marriage. And marriage is hard, amen? I could say that, my wife's not here tonight. Marriage is hard. Marriage is difficult. Marriage may be the hardest thing you ever do in your life. Now, somebody was asking me, said, you going to talk about marriage tonight? Because I'm single and I'm not going to come if you are. But listen, this is for everybody tonight. Because if you haven't taken the leap, get out a pen and a paper. There's some things that you need to know. How many of you know men and women are wired differently? Man, we're wired. I remember my mom trying to teach me how to swim. And the way my mother taught me to swim is she took my hand and we walked down the steps into the pool. And we got and she held my belly and my chest. And she's like, kick your feet, your hands, you know. And she'd let go and I'd start to sink and she'd lift me back up again. I never learned to swim that way. But my father, now he taught me how to swim because he's a man. And my dad picked me up by the back of my trunks, lifted me up over his head and threw me into the deep end. And I just remember I'd see him for a minute and then I'd go back under. And I'd see him for a minute and he'd say, boy, you better swim or you're going to die. Men and women are different. I do a lot of premarital counseling. And, you know, one thing we always talk about in premarital counseling, because it's important and needs to be talked about, is sex. And that's always different. And I always try to teach guys. You've heard the old saying that sex begins in the kitchen. How many of you have heard that? And whenever I say that to young couples, a guy always looks at me like, I hadn't even thought of that. That's not what it means. You see, Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, you're going to be married. And marriage was in as great a crisis back in Paul's time as it is in our time, and for many of the same reasons. When you look at Roman civilization and you look at what went on in their civilization, it mirrored much of what goes on today, except today it's televised. And you get to see it. I mean, you want to find a mate? Well, you move 12 women into the house, right? And vote them off one at a time. I mean, we see it all the time. I mean, how many more shows are they going to make like that, all right? And so there's all these shows, all these different things. You watch, if you watch MTV, you see all those reality shows. What's the one? Flavor? No, on MTV. No, gosh, you're a bunch of pagans. You're naming all these shows that I haven't even seen. The Real World. I mean, so there you go. And that's how we're learning to live and to relate, by watching that. But I want you to know, God has a plan. And I want to encourage you. I want to plead with you to do this God's way. If you're single, do this God's way. There are some things that are worth waiting for. Now, that was an unbelievable moment for those of you who waited and got that great reward. Maybe you're sitting next to him or her. To really go nuts. So let me just tell you, if you're single, there are some things worth waiting for. It's pathetic. Man, it's a good thing we're talking about marriage. Apparently we all need to hear about it, myself included. Now we'll start with the verse that a lot of women don't like and that a lot of men really like. Even men who don't go to church know this verse. Men who are here every Easter and Christmas, and that's it, know this verse. And in Ephesians 5:22, it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Actually, the men only know half the verse. That's all they know. Wives, submit to your husband. And I'll tell my wife that. I'm just trying to tell her why we needed a brand new, you know, H1. Everybody seen the big Hummer, the big box car? I love those. And I was telling her why we needed it. We got a lot of kids in our house. And we got to get those kids around safely. And that's a big old car, honey, and I think that would do it. She's like, you're out of your mind. I said, submit! So anyway, we didn't get it. And wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. I won't spend a lot of time on this part of it. I just want to tell you what a beautiful picture this is. Wives, submit to your husbands as to what? As to the Lord. So if he's a jerk and you don't like, you submit to him as to the Lord. That submission doesn't mean, men, that you get everything you want. It's not what that means. It doesn't mean you make all the decisions. That's not what it means. Submission does not mean that. You see, submit, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. You see, this is a spiritual relationship. And this is about the only time that a lot of men really want to get spiritual. Is wives. Wife, submit to me. But this submission, I want to explain a couple things about it. First of all, this submission, wives are not supposed to submit their husbands because of value. It's not that God made Adam first and he was more valuable than Eve. You see, they weren't created in an order of value. Okay, does everybody understand that? And so Eve was no less important than Adam. And this whole submission thing, the whole idea behind this is because it's a spiritual relationship. The number one thing I have women tell me, you know, when we're in my office and we're doing marriage counseling, not premarital, marriage counseling. And everyone will say to me, I just want him to be the spiritual head of the house. And I'll say, well, you know, do you have anything to say about that? And just when he starts to talk, she'll be like, no, he doesn't have anything to say because he's not. I mean, he doesn't. And I'm like, okay. But I don't think most women understand what it means to be the spiritual head of the house. Let me tell you something. If you're a woman here tonight and you're married, and you're having trouble submitting to your husband because of where he's at spiritually, Let me just give you some words of encouragement. I've never seen a man be the spiritual head of the household because his wife ordered him to do it. Did everybody get that? You can't order that. You can't demand that. What can you do? What?
Earn that?
Earn that? Well, pray. Pray. That's all you can do. Pray. And pray for him. And pray that he'll be the man that God wants him to be. A man worthy of submitting to. You see, men, most of the time, your wife's issue with submitting to you is because you haven't been worthy of being submitted to. And that doesn't change the scriptures. But we have to walk with the Lord. You see, what I love about the Bible is the Bible talks about what a real man is. You see, it's this idea that it's late at night and you hear a strange noise. I have never, maybe once, no, maybe never, never. I've never, when we've heard that noise, said, honey, go see what that is. Hey, take the bat with you. That's never happened. Because part of what that means is that there really is a physical protection. And although my wife could probably whip me, it's just a man thing for me to go and investigate the noise. And, you know, maybe the intruder will wear themselves out on me and then Mildred will really take care of him, you know, that kind of a thing. But you see, when God set this up, it was set up in such a way that women would have a respect, that they rightfully should have a respect. And there's a respect that's earned in submission. There's a respect that's earned there. Now, I want you to hear me because I'm going to repeat myself. That doesn't mean that the woman's just going to agree to everything the man wants. Thank goodness my wife hasn't agreed to everything I've wanted. Thank goodness. Because I haven't always wanted righteous things. Not all the things I want now are righteous things. But Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, listen, marriage is in a crisis. So I want you to conduct yourselves in marriage in a spiritual way. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. Now, as a church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, I really want you to hear this, because this is that part of the message where I get differing looks from people in the congregation. They're looking like, okay, so now, I don't like that. You know, help me with that. Let me tell you, ultimately, and I've told you this 1,000 times on Wednesday night, ultimately, you're not trusting your spouse for your marriage.
Amen, Pastor. That's good. That's good. I'm writing that down. I'm writing that down, Pastor.
You are ultimately trusting God for your marriage. So listen, and I don't I know every situation is different, but predominantly the situation that I deal with is where I have a woman who really wants to be a godly wife and a woman who really wants to have a godly marriage. And predominantly it's the guy who's like, well, I want to have a spiritual marriage. I'm going to church 3 or 4 times a year. Isn't that good? I want to tell you, 90% of the couples that I deal with don't pray together. They don't pray together. I would imagine submission is difficult if you're not praying together. And let me encourage you, okay? If you're here and you're single, don't wait to start praying together till you get married. Because if he won't pray with you when you're dating, let me make you a promise. He's not going to pray with you when you do get married. So you know what? It's a great thing. And I know some of you are going to think this is just horrible and old-fashioned and all that stuff. But man, if I was a young lady and some guy asked me out, you know, when he came and picked me up the first time, I'd say, can we pray before we go? Now listen to me, because I know there's a lot of you here tonight and you're single. But I'm going to tell you, there's no way I'd be married today if it wasn't for Jesus. She would have left a long time ago. There's several times I think I would have left. But it was just those moments that we knew that it was God holding us together. Even when we were letting go, God was holding us together. So if you are single, listen to me. Now is the time. Be the person God wants you to be now. Set those expectations now. Because I have found this about most men. They can get really spiritual when they're dating. And they can really enjoy the fellowship of the church when they're dating. But ultimately, here's what you want to know. Is this going to be a young man or a young woman that once we spawn and we have children, is this going to be a person who's going to raise our children to believe these things? Because you guys know this. We don't believe these are just good things for while you're on the earth. We believe that these are things that take you to the whole next level of eternity in heaven with God forever and ever. And so when you're dating, man, that's the time. That is the time. And I just say, hey, can we pray together? And I'm not even saying it's comfortable. 90% of married couples that I've met with don't pray together. They come to my office, they're having horrible problems, and I'll say, are you praying together? And they'll say no, and I'll say, okay, there's the problem. I'll see you in 2 weeks. How are you going to know what God wants for your marriage if you're not praying together? How are you going to pray together when you're married if you don't pray together when you're dating? Does everybody get that? I know there's a lot of single people here, so I'm going to really try to hit everything here. And I'm telling you, you know, I met my wife on the mission field. So it was kind of an expectation for us in our relationship that those kind of things would happen. I mean, when we met, we were working at a camp all summer. And some of those things for us in the environment that we met made that more natural. I know there's probably a lot of guys here tonight. And I know, man, when you think about just praying together or praying out loud, that's kind of tough. I mean, it makes you nervous. Doesn't mean you're not a man. Doesn't mean you're not a spiritual man. But I want to encourage you. You don't have to pray in front of the whole church, but you've got to pray with your family. You have to. I'm just going to tell you that. And other people may say, well, God didn't wire a guy like that. Listen, he's wired all of us like that. And I'm not saying that it's 100% comfortable, 100% of the time comfortable when I do it. I mean, I try to pray with every kid every night. That's a lot of praying. That is a lot of praying. And there are nights when I don't feel like it. I don't want to go into their room and pray. They've been brats all day. I know it's hard for you to believe that my kids are. But I go to their room and I pray and I say, Jesus, thank you for Molly. Thank you for the little girl that you've made her to be. And Jesus, I'm excited about the plans you have for her life. Guys, it doesn't have to be some big, extravagant, long-worded prayer. It doesn't have to be that. But you've got to do that. You've got to do that. And I'm just going to tell you, if I was a young person and I was single and I was in the dating scene, I'm going to tell you, that would be something that would be important to me. Now, granted, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and I see now how important that has been even to our marriage, even to us being the people that God wants us to be. And so this submission thing, it takes place in our marriage, but it takes place on a spiritual level. She's way better with money than I am. She's way better. So she makes most of our financial decisions. And that's, you know, the reason why we have anything is because she does that. And when I want stuff and she says no, guess what? No. No. And that's fine. I tell her, you ain't going to get everything you want either. Then I wink at her and she's like, yeah, whatever. But in this submission, this takes place as we pray together as a family, as we pray about what God wants for our family, as we pray about what our kids are involved in, as we pray about what our kids wear. Like, I'm concerned right now, my daughters, they are 6 and 4, and I'm concerned about what they wear. Right now, some of that skimpy stuff, it looks kind of cute on a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, but you know, I don't want to get them all used to that at 4 and 6, because that's what they're going to wear when they're 16. And I don't want that. And so we pray about that. We pray about, you know, what shows we watch. I mean, I remember growing up, if they said one cuss word in television show, my dad would turn it off. He said, we ain't watching that garbage, that filth. I mean, if it was just one word. And then, of course, the great irony of my dad is then we watch Platoon together. And they're saying the F-bomb all over the place. I was like, well, Dad, you know, they're cussing here. And he's like, it's war, son. That's how it was. But we're praying about those things as a family. And that's the spiritual part of our relationship. We're praying. We're praying about what kind of boy that we want Sam, what kind of man we want Sam to grow up and be. And what kind of man we want him to grow up and be. Those are things we're already talking to him about right now. Things that we expect of him. And those things that we desire to see God do in his life. And we're talking about those things. Men, it's crucial. It's crucial because I really want to encourage you. You've got to be the spiritual head of your house. He goes on to say, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. You see, I always feel like the women got the better end of the deal. All you have to do is submit, but husbands have to die. You see, for us to love our wives like Christ loved the church, remember, he gave himself for the church. He died for the church. And so listen, I've got one life. This is it. I've got one life. And so if you want to get a hold of Pastor Jamie, I'm either here or I'm at home. And that those are the two places that I am. You can catch me at one of those two places. Because that's where I am. And in this season of life, it's so urgent. And so here we are in marriage. And here we are struggling. And struggling is better than not struggling to be the husband and the wives that God has called us to be. And he says this about marriage. That husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And so this one life, it's a dying life that I have to die to myself. And those things take place. I want to just ask you a series of questions. And you just answer these in your mind. I want to ask you, if you're married, do you pray together? I mean pray together. I don't mean at the supper table. I don't mean that. I don't mean just with the kids, that the whole family gets together. Do you and your wife pray together? Do you pray together? If you're married and you have children, do you pray with your kids? And I want to tell you, if you have multiple children like I do, there is value, even though it's timely, there is value in praying with your children one-on-one and praying for those things that you want God to see do in their lives. Praying for those things. Very, very important. If you're single and you're dating, do you and that person pray together? And if you don't, and I had like one of those cans with the horn on it, I'd be blowing it right now saying, hey, don't get married yet. Make this a part of your dating life or it'll never be a part of your married life. And I know some of you might want to take issue with that statement, say, we didn't pray together every day, but now we are praying together. You're the exception, not the rule. Did everybody hear that? So don't date a miracle that God's going to do one day. But date somebody who's already in there. So is that happening in your relationship? If you're a wife, do you submit to your husband? Do you submit to your husband? Now, don't poke him and all that kind of stuff. Do you submit to your husband? And let me tell you how you'll know that. You can't answer that to me. Tonight, ask your husband, do you think I'm a submissive wife? Listen to what he has to say. Me and my wife have a rule at our house that feelings are not always accurate, but they're always valid. So many times her feelings are not, you never help around the house. And I'll say, never, never. I've never helped around the house. I did the dishes in 03, I know, twice. But she's saying that, so guess what? That feeling's not accurate, but it must be valid. So ask, am I a submissive wife? And then guys, you ask her. Do you think I'm spiritually leading our family? Spiritually leading our family. Do you think that? If you're dating, I think you ought to ask those questions. Guys, if you're dating a gal, I'd ask her, will you be a submissive wife? Now, that may end the relationship. But if it does, it's probably good for you. And girls, I'd ask, are you going to be a spiritual leader in our house? Because in most homes, the only prayer that takes place is when the mother prays with the children. And that's the only prayer that takes place. It's got to be more than that. You see, marriage is spiritual. Marriage wasn't something the government was already doing, and then God said, well, hey, let's see how we can make this Christian. God instituted marriage. Does everybody understand that? God, they said they came together, but only God could make them one. God did that. God instituted marriage. And that makes it a spiritual thing. It's not a civil thing. It's a spiritual thing. Because God makes them husband and wife. He brings them together and He makes them one. Marriage is spiritual. And many, many couples forsake the spiritual part of that marriage. Because I'm going to tell you, coming to church isn't going to make your marriage happy. Not that there aren't good things here, not that there aren't good classes, but that alone will not make you have a great marriage. One, it's Jesus that makes you have a great marriage. And Jesus allows us to have great marriages as we listen to what He says. So wives, submit to your husbands. Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Now my wife, she's got a lot of grace because she had a daddy. I tell everybody when they get married, or before they get married, they ought to ask each other, what do you expect of a wife? I mean, if you're single here tonight, that's a great question. If you're a guy, what do you expect in a wife? And ladies, what do you expect in a husband? Most people get their expectations from how they grew up. And so my wife grew up with a daddy who could fix anything. He could fix anything. And so my dad was like that, but I wasn't. I can't fix anything. So our grill is all broke and the burner's rotted out. And so I'm doing what I do when anything at the house breaks. I'm going to go get another one. And so I get there and I'm looking at the grills, and for only like $40 less than the whole grill cost, I saw that they had a burner that you could install. And I thought, And I felt a lot of shame in that moment that, well, if this was my dad or her dad, they'd buy the burner and put it in. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I buy the burner. And I go to the house. I'm trying to figure out, there's supposed to be two holes where the gas things hook up, and I can't find those things anywhere, and that was because I think you're supposed to also clean out the grill. I'm not sure, there's a lot of stuff in there, and so I turn the thing over, and all that grill stuff, I just call it grill stuff, anyway, it just falls out, and it's all this black stuff, and it's all over the floor, and I put that burner on, and I told my wife, I said, dear, just want you to know, I put a new burner on the grill. She goes, have you lit it yet? I said, well, I'm getting ready to do that. She goes, will you send the children in the house? I said, they'll be fine. And so I get out there and I turn on the gas and it sounded like, it was like, shh. I was like, kids, get in the house. Get in the house. And prayed a great prayer. And then I lit that thing and it worked. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And my wife, she was so proud, you know, that I had done that. Actually, she was. She came out, and I want her to see that I've done this. She comes out, she goes, what is this stuff all over the floor? My goodness. And so that's how it goes sometimes, because in marriage, you have those moments, and you have those times. But I want to encourage you to do marriage God's way. And if you're dating, plan on doing marriage God's way. Have those expectations up front. Husbands and wives, pray together. For a message like this, you could preach this for an hour and a half, and I had to really wrestle with how far to go into the passage. And I just decided not to go all the way through it. Because I want to encourage you, the greatest single piece of advice that I can give you from the thousands of people that have been in my office, if you would pray together. That is an incredible point. It's an incredible moment in marriage for y'all to do that. Pray with your children. Guys, to be the spiritual head of the household means this, that you lead out in all things spiritual. That you do. That you lead out. That you set the alarm on Saturday night. That you're the one that gets up and helps out and does all that stuff so that your family can be at church together. But then the church isn't a one-time experience. It's something that goes on and you pray about. So me and my boys, we've been trying to read through the book of Ephesians. And I'll tell you, they have better questions than any questions I've ever heard at seminary. And we'll read through just a passage. And they just sit on the floor and I just read it to them. And they may or may not have questions. But I'm going to tell you, it's been phenomenal to have that time with them and to do that. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody, now you better hear this, okay? Because many of the questions they have, I don't have the answers for. And you know what I tell them? That's a great question. That's an excellent question. You know what? We're going to pray about that. And I'm going to check it out. And I'm going to try to have an answer to your question. That's okay. You don't have to be a theologian to read the Bible with your kids. Now, the reason I'm sharing this, and I had so many things I wanted to share, and I've just thrown all those things out, is because, really, this is where the rubber meets the road in marriage. Marriage is spiritual. You need to pray together. One of the things I love about our church is that at the altar call, you see a lot of couples come to the altar together, and they pray together. And that is a great thing. Pastor Jeff got on me the other day because he saw me praying with a lady. When I got done praying with her, I kissed her cheek and I kissed her forehead. And he couldn't tell that it was my wife. And he came up and said, man, that's some pastoral care. And we love those moments when we can come to the altar and we can pray together. I want to encourage you, your marriage doesn't hinge on you. It doesn't. Because marriage is spiritual. And there are so many incredible promises about what God will do in marriage. Listen, there's so many promises about what God can heal in marriage. That God does that. So ladies, if you're yelling and hollering for him to be the spiritual leader of the house, just quit. He's not going to do it because you're saying it. He's only going to do it when God gets a hold of his heart. So quit yapping and start praying. God, get a hold of his heart. And men, she's not going to submit because you tell her to. But pray, and God will get a hold of her heart. And you'll have the marriage that God wants you to have. And please, hear me. I don't want to get a bunch of bad emails tomorrow because some of you went home and you prayed together. And tomorrow morning, everything's the same. Nothing's changed. Listen, you got to make this a part of your life. This has to happen consistently that you do these things together. I remember a lady was talking to a pastor and her husband had had an affair. And she was having a horrible time, as you can imagine. And the pastor said, are you praying for him? And she said, I pray for him every day that he'll choke and die on her cooking. That's not the kind of prayers I'm talking about. God can do unbelievable things in your marriage. And if you're single, it is worth waiting for that person that you see really desires to live their life for the Lord. And if you are single and you have an incredible desire to be married, let me just tell you, first of all, that's not a bad desire. But don't waste your life on that desire, because you were created for the glory of God. So live all that passion that you have maybe to be married. Live all that passion for God's glory. Give your life completely to Him. Most people, if you talk to them, found the person they ended up marrying when they stopped looking. That's when they found them. If you're dating, you better check these things now. Because what I have observed typically, and I don't mean this to be a discouragement, but what I have observed is that people are usually a little more spiritual when they're dating than when they're married. So don't be fooled. That means this better be Billy Graham that you're dating. If he's going to be the husband that God has for you, or if she's going to be the wife that God has for you. But be encouraged. I know that it's hard. Trust me. I know that. And marriage is hard. I don't care if you're a pastor. Marriage is hard. And I don't care if you're a pastor. It is costly to be the man that God wants you to be to a wife, and to be the man that God wants you to be to your children. It costs a lot of things. But they are all, every one of them, worth it to see what God can do in marriage. Some of you here tonight, and you're struggling. You know that. Maybe you're sitting together and you know it. You know it's been tough. Listen. It all hinges on God. And you can trust Him with your marriage. You can trust Him. So I want to encourage you. I mean, the message really, there was nothing profound. I doubt that I said anything you didn't know. So let me just reiterate the main point of the message. You got to pray together. Marriage is spiritual. God instituted it so that while you were single and living your life for the glory of God, all that changes in marriage is now you are two who are together living your life for the glory of God. So you do that. Let me close with this, and we'll have a time of altar. Sometimes I'll draw a triangle. At the top of that triangle is God. And you're on one of those sides. And if you're single, you're looking for somebody to be on the other side. Or if you're married, there is somebody on the other side. And here's what you need to learn about marriage. The only way that you'll grow closer together is that you grow closer to God. And you have to do that in your life. So be encouraged. I have found that the most difficult things in life were worth it when it was all said and done. I mean, nothing is great that's easy, but it's work. It's hard work, and it is worth that. So we'll begin. We'll begin. You can trust God with your marriage. You can trust God with your spouse. And if your spouse chooses to do something that's crazy and seems to wreck your life, your children's life, you know what? God's going to get you through it. Some of you already know that. Some of you already know that God's going to get you through it. He already has. Some of you are there. He'll get you through it. He'll get you through it. Some of you are sitting together struggling together tonight. God's going to get you through it. He's going to get you through it. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. And God, we thank you for the incredible example that you've given us in marriage. That Christ laid down his life for the church. You made that comparison, Lord. So I pray for couples all over this room tonight. Lord, if they're not praying together, they'd begin to. Couples that are dating, Lord, that they would even now begin to implement those things in their lives. I pray you help men be the spiritual leaders in their homes. And I pray for those wives that they would submit to their husbands as to the Lord. And that together they grow closer to you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.
when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply